So today we're going to get a little challenging, and we're going to talk about a scripture that at one point was said you shouldn't preach on that. Hope you're excited. No, I'm not talking about money, really, I promise. What we're talking about is, how many of you heard of the story of the camel through a needle? It's pretty popular. It's a little confusing. I remember as a kid, I had a really hard time figuring out how we were going to get this big old camel through a needle, but we persevered. I figured it out. But today we're jumping into the book of Mark, and we're going to look at this passage where Jesus is talking to the rich man. I mean, where we get that line from, and really talk about this rich man had a very big question for Jesus and a very big challenge in his life, and we're going to jump into that this morning. So I invite you to join me in the book of Mark, chapter 10, verses 17 through 31. And I apologize, this is not in your bulletin. I did not get prepared in enough time for it to be in a bulletin. So let us jump into the Word of God now, starting with verse 17. As he was setting out on a journey, a man ran up and knelt before Jesus and asked him, "Good teacher, what must I do to inherit eternal life?" Jesus said, "Why do you call me good? No one is good but God alone. You know the commandments. You shall not murder, you shall not commit adultery, you shall not steal, you shall not bear false witness, you shall not defraud, you must honor your mother and father." The rich man said to Jesus, "Teacher, I have kept all of these since my youth." Then Jesus, looking at him, loved him and said, "But you lack one thing. Go, sell what you own, and give the money to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven. Then come and follow me." When he heard this, he was shocked and went away grieving, for he had many possessions. Then Jesus looked and said to his disciples, "How hard will it be for those who have wealth to enter the kingdom of God?" And the disciples were perplexed at these words. But Jesus said to them again, "Children, how hard is it to enter the kingdom of God? It is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for someone who is rich to enter the kingdom of God." They were greatly astounded and said to one another, "Then who can be saved?" Jesus looked at them and said, "For mortals it is impossible, but not for God. For God all things are possible." Peter then began to say, "Look, we have left everything and we have followed you." Jesus continued, "Truly I tell you, there is no one who has left house or brothers or sisters or mother or father or children or fields for my sake and for the sake of the good news, who will not receive a hundredfold now in this age. Houses, brothers, sisters, mothers, children, and fields with persecutions, and in the age to come, eternal life. But many who are first will be last, and the last will be first." The word of God for the people of God. Amen. So when we find Jesus in this passage, he's journeying. We know Jesus did a lot of that. He did a lot of traveling in his day. And Jesus comes up to a man, a rich man. And we see this man kneeling before Jesus and saying, "Jesus, what do I have to do to get to heaven?" Now, I imagine Jesus in this is like, you ever see those cartoons where they're following someone and they're sweating to death and the guy in the front just keeps on going and going? I imagine Jesus was probably like a road runner, and all the disciples were behind him just trying to keep up, sweating and panting, probably asking for a water break. And Jesus said, "We ain't got time for that. Keep on going." But here at this point, this wealthy man, I assume, catches up to Jesus, and he kneels at him, grabbing his robes, and he begins inquiring about eternal life. Now, Jesus, being Jesus, doesn't just give straight-up answers. He answers like philosophers like Socrates or Columbo that we know of, and just ask very dizzying questions that make it a little more confusing for us. But that's where we find the beauty in Jesus' teachings, are these questions that he asks. You see, he goes and begins asking this man who has contacted him, "Why do you call me good?" He begins asking these questions to him. And Jesus finally gets around. We realize he asked this question because something's missing. You see, Jesus begins telling off what we know as some of the Ten Commandments. Honor your mother and father. Do not steal. Do not kill. We know where these come from. These are the law of Moses. We've heard these before. These are very, very popular in our biblical teachings and our Sunday school lessons. But Jesus sees a lack. And this is kind of what Jesus is getting at in this. He's getting at that, you know, you've done all these things. You've done really well. And the guy admitted to that. He says, "Well, I followed those rules. we'll assume this guy's probably someone who followed Jewish law, and he probably did really good at following Jewish law. He followed all the things the rabbis had taught, but to Jesus, something was still missing. I think of it in this way. The man had 99 out of 100 things he needed to get into heaven. And you say, you think, wow, 99 out of 100, he's almost there. I mean, he's almost perfect. But you see, that one thing discredited all the other 99. Because it wasn't just a one thing, 1% he had left to go. The one thing he was missing was the biggest thing he needed. It wasn't just a thing to complete the set. He needed grace and salvation. Something so much bigger than those other 99 things that didn't complete those 99. You see, he didn't follow Jesus wholeheartedly. He didn't quite follow Jesus with everything he had. You see, Jesus identified something that was a rather big blockage for this guy. This is his wealth. Now, before we go any further, I promise you this isn't a sermon. I'm going to tell you, when you leave here, I want you to sell everything. Go sell the car, sell your clothes, sell your house, hit the road, follow Jesus. Promise this isn't that sermon. But this was just one guy's blockage. You see, the writer of Mark does a really good job, and something I admire, in that after Jesus had told him, go, sell your possessions and follow me, they put a line in there. They don't end there, they said, and the man with many possessions left sad. You see, we see human emotion in this story. You see, this man was attached to his possessions. He had worked hard. He was a rich man. He had many things. And this time, when you were rich, you probably were also a very high government official. This man probably had a lot of power where he came from. And you see, the man struggled to give it up. And this was a blockage for him to salvation that we see. You see, John Wesley rephrases that line, that famous line we see in here, the camel through the eye of a needle. It's easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for those who have riches not to trust in them. You see, when Wesley taught, he says that the rich were those with more than just the bare minimum to survive. Wealth destroys humility, wealth annihilates patience, and wealth produces vices and leads to idolatry. Very blunt Wesley, as we know him. John Wesley didn't have an issue telling you how he felt. But we see as Wesley breaks down this blockage of wealth that this man had. And this continues on in many other Christian teachings that St. Francis took this so wholeheartedly that the rest is history, and St. Francis sold everything and did just that. But we also hear of stories of modern individuals like Millard Fuller. Has anybody ever heard that name before? He's the founder of Habitat for Humanity. See, he gave up his millions that he had to be able to build affordable houses for and with the poor. You see, he took a fundamental downturn in the economic ladder so he could be able to provide for others, because he had heard this scripture, he had heard a teaching on this, and said, there's something I can do here. You see, when we see this, that all of this survival, is that really, we think of the fact that it's not just prayer we need to enter the kingdom. You know, it's so much more than just following those Ten Commandments to a T. You see, this man had lived this life where he thought he had had it all figured out and he was good. I'm betting that man probably went to Jesus thinking, I'm going to ask him, how do I have eternal life? Jesus is going to see me, know I did all these things. He's going to tell me, you're good, buddy. Keep on keeping on. But you see, Jesus did something different. You see, Jesus had told him that there's something different into this, that it's much more than just your prayer and your following of the Ten Commandments. You see, it's how you live this life on earth. And that's what we're really hitting on today, is how we live and what are our blockages for eternal life. You see, we hear about a lot of people do this through finances, and for some this is. But what this implies, what this story is about, is this is about sometimes we have something that we hold on to greater than following Jesus. Sometimes it's a person, sometimes it's a place, it's a thing. You see, for this man, it was this great wealth. For others, it might be an addiction. We can name any vices that we see in others' life, or maybe we even can self-identify vices in our own life. And what Jesus is teaching here is that until you give that up, whatever is holding you back from salvation, whatever is holding you back from a relationship with God, you don't have that full idea of salvation and grace. You see, this isn't just about giving up everything you have. That's part of it. We see this call of this over wealth and how we're called to give to the poor, how we're called to help those in need. But we also understand we have to provide for our family. We have needs. We have to eat. We have to have shelter. We have basic human needs. And this isn't what Jesus is teaching in this. But what Jesus is saying to all of us through the story of the rich man is he's asking, what is your blockage? What is keeping you from following me fully? Is it your workplace? Is it your personal schedule? Is it someone in your life? Is it money? You see, I can't answer that for you, and that's something that we all have to really think about. What's holding us back from the kingdom of heaven? And you see, sometimes we look at these challenges and we think, well, how can I really get rid of that, or how can I fix that? I can be a very doubtful person. I'll be the first to admit it. And there's a lot of times I can think, well, God, I don't know how you expect me to do that. But we read here in our scripture today, in the 27th verse, that for mortals it is impossible, but not for God. For God, all things are possible. You see, the important part of this is faith. It all starts with faith being the foundation of what we do. See, sometimes we're the camel trying to get through the needle's eye. That eye of the needle is the entrance to heaven, we'll say. That is our eternal life. And sometimes we're the 6-foot, 1,000-pound animal trying to fit through it. And sometimes we can blind ourselves, and I've been here before, that we can think, oh, I can get through there easy. I've got it made. Just how the rich man probably did. See, the rich man in this story is the camel. Salvation is the eye of the needle. So he had to identify and look at this and decide, what is my blockage? And it was his wealth. What's going to get me through the eye of the needle? How am I going to reach heaven and reach eternal salvation? And so that's the challenge I have for us all today. Today's about self-identification. Today's about really looking into our lives and saying, what's keeping me from following Jesus wholly? There may be something that rivals your faith, rivals your prayer life, whatever it may be, that you put over following Jesus. But we don't get to take those things to heaven with us usually. You see, it's another lesson with this, that this man's wealth, one of the reasons this was a blockage was those physical things didn't matter once. He could accumulate all these riches on earth, and when his time had come, they're all going to disappear and go somewhere else. How's the country song go? You don't get to take a boat to heaven. I think that rings pretty true here. He probably didn't take his boat to heaven. But his saved soul does go to heaven, along with the works, and he can play a part in saving other souls to join with him in heaven. So that's my challenge for all of us today. What's blocking us? What's causing us to be the camel trying to go through the eye of the needle? And how can we look as we continue into our week and make this not just another normal week, but a week where we're going to say, Jesus, I'm wholly following you. I won't be the camel anymore trying to go through the eye of the needle. But I'm going to wholly follow you, no matter what that means, what I may need to give up or do for that, because I'm going to join you for eternal life. May we all go out and follow Jesus with our entire hearts. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.